Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman Mem by Ram Goldar, Anthony Mesechus of Avodah Zorah, Daf Mem Aleph. The third parak called Slamim. The Zikhu Mesechus of Avodah Zorah program has been dedicated to Zikhu Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyamin ben Rav Menachem Aleph Hashalom, and Zikhu Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin Aleph Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, a motzid shivrei tzlamim. If one finds broken pieces of images, hari il mutarin, they are permitted. Matzah tavnis yadu, tavnis rago. If he found a figure of a hand or foot, they are prohibited. Bipnei kushiyotz behenev, but because such items are worshipped in that form. Shmuel teaches that the Mishnah's first ruling does not only mean to permit broken tzlamim, which are not known to have been worshipped, and therefore are sfeik sfeika, a double suffix, since they may have never been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when broken. Rather, afil shivrei avodos kochavim, even fragments of idols which were definitely worshipped are permitted because we assume they were nullified when they were broken. Still, the Mishnah taught that the figure of a hand or foot are prohibited, and Shmuel explains this case as ba'omdin abasisan, where they are standing on their bases, which indicate they are worshipped. Point number two, the Gemara discusses avodas kochavim shenishtaber me'aleha, an idol which broke on its own, meaning it was not shattered intentionally by a person. Yochanan says, asura dehalu batla, it's still forbidden because the akum did not necessarily nullify it merely because it broke. Rish Lakish says, muteres, mestama batula mevatula. It's permitted because presumably he nullified it because he says to himself, ihi nafshin la'atzla, it cannot even save itself from breaking. Lahu gavra matzale, can it save that man, referring to himself? The Mishnah says that broken tzlamim are permitted, which implies that only those which were never known to have been worshipped are permitted when broken, but those which were definitely once worshipped remain prohibited when they're broken on their own, which proves we cannot assume they were nullified. Rish Lakish answers that the inference of the Mishnah should be that only broken tzlamim are permitted, but unbroken tzlamim are prohibited. And the Mishnah follows Reb Meir's opinion that all tzlamim are prohibited, even if they're not known to have been worshipped. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan explains further, the broken tzlamim are permitted because they may not have been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when they broke. But a broken idol known to have been once worshipped is prohibited because vadai avdua. They definitely worshipped it previously. Miyema de batla, who says that he nullified it when it broke? Havi safeku vadai, it is thus a case of uncertainty against a certainty. Ein safek motzmi de vadai, and an uncertainty cannot remove something from its prior certain status. This principle is challenged from a brisa teaching that if a chaver died and left behind a storehouse of produce, even if its processing was completed that day, it's becheskes mutukanim. It's presumed to be resolved, meaning that meiser was removed from it. Here, although the produce was certainly initially tevel, and it's only a suffix if the chaver removed meiser, the suffix is still able to remove the produce from its definite tevel status. The Gemara first answers that it is a vadai that the chaver removed the meiser, because there is a chazaka that a chaver does not allow anything unfit for consumption to leave his hand. Alternatively, it answers that its original status as tevel is also suffix, since the produce may have been brought into his house inside the chaff, and biblically exempt from meiser. Therefore, the suffix can be motzi from the first suffix. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, hamotzi shivrei tzlamim, if one finds broken pieces of images, hariyo mutarin, they are permitted. Matza tavnis yadu, tavnis rago, if he found a figure of a hand or foot, they are prohibited, bipnei kushiyotz behenev, but because such items are worshipped in that form. Shmuel teaches that the Mishnah's first ruling does not only mean to permit broken tzlamim, which are not known to have been worshipped, and therefore are sfeik sfeika, a double suffix, since they may have never been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when broken. Rather, afil shivrei avodos kochavim, even fragments of idols which were definitely worshipped are permitted because we assume they were nullified when they were broken. Still, the Mishnah taught that the figure of a hand or foot are prohibited, and Shmuel explains this case as ba'omdin abasisan, where they are standing on their bases, which indicate they are worshipped. Point number two, the Gemara discusses avodas kochavim shenishtaber me'aleha, an idol which broke on its own, meaning it was not shattered intentionally by a person. Yochanan says, asura dehalu batla, it's still forbidden because the akum did not necessarily nullify it merely because it broke. Rish Lakish says, muteres, mestama batula mevatula. It's permitted because presumably he nullified it because he says to himself, ihi nafshin la'atzla, it cannot even save itself from breaking. Lahu gavra matzale, can it save that man, referring to himself? The Mishnah stated that broken tzlamim are permitted, which implies that only those which were never known to have been worshipped are permitted when broken, but those which were definitely once worshipped remain prohibited when they're broken on their own, which proves we cannot assume they were nullified. Rish Lakish answers that the inference of the Mishnah should be that only broken tzlamim are permitted, but unbroken tzlamim are prohibited. And the Mishnah follows Reb Meir's opinion that all tzlamim are prohibited even if they're not known to have been worshipped. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan explains further that broken tzlamim are permitted because they may not have been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when they broke. But a broken idol known to have been once worshipped is prohibited because vadai avdua. They definitely worshipped it previously. Miyema de batua, who says that he nullified it when it broke? Havi safeku vadai, it is thus a case of uncertainty against a certainty. Ein safek motzmi de vadai, and an uncertainty cannot remove something from its prior certain status. This principle is challenged from a braisa teaching that if a chaver died and left behind a storehouse of produce, even if its processing was completed that day, it's becheskes mutukanim. It's presumed to be resolved, meaning that meiser was removed from it. Here, although the produce was certainly initially tevel, and it's only a suffix if the chaver removed meiser, the suffix is still able to remove the produce from its definite tevel status. The Gemara first answers that it is a vadai that the chaver removed the meiser, because there is a chazaka that a chaver does not allow anything unfit for consumption to leave his hand. Alternatively, it answers that its original status as tevel is also suffix, since the produce may have been brought into his house inside the chaff, and biblically exempt from meiser. Therefore, the suffix can be motzi from the first suffix. All right, so now we got our siman daf mem off, and our standard siman is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma who proudly displayed shibrei tzlamim in her sveika collection pointed to her goyisha neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off from the wind and was still forbidden, and explained to her friend it was because ein safek motzmi de vadai, it was certainly worshipped, and it's only a safek if it was nullified. Once again, slow motion. The grandma, that must be on daf mem olive. The grandma who proudly displayed shibrei tzlamim in her sveika collection, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a motzi shibrei tzlamim, if one finds broken pieces of images, hayil mutarin, they are permitted. Matzah tavnis yadu, tavnis regel, if he found a figure of a hand or a foot, they are prohibited because such items are worshipped in that form. Shmuel teaches that the Mishnah's first ruling does not only mean to permit broken tzlamim, which are not known to have been worshipped, and therefore are sveika, a double suffix, since they may have never been worshipped, and even if they were, they may been nullified when broken. So the grandma who proudly displayed shibrei tzlamim in her sveika collection pointed to her goyisha neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off in the wind and was still forbidden. And which reminds us, the Gemara discusses avodas kol chavim shenishtabra me'eleha, an idol which broke on its own, meaning it was not shattered intentionally by a person. Rabbi Yochanan says asura dehalubatla, it's still forbidden because the akum did not necessarily nullify it, merely because it broke. Rish Lakish says murteres mistama bituli mivatla, it's permitted because presumably he nullified it, because he says to himself, it could not even save itself from breaking. Can it save me? So the grandma who proudly displayed shibrei tzlamim in her sveika collection pointed to her goyisha neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off in the wind and was still forbidden, and explained to her friend that it was because ein safek motzmi de vadai, it was certainly worshipped, and it's only a safek if it was nullified. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan explains further that broken tzlamim are permitted because they may not have been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when they broke. But a broken idol known to have once been worshipped is prohibited because they definitely worshipped it previously. Who says that he nullified it when it broke? Havi safek uvadai. It's thus a case of a safek against a vadai. Ve'ein safek motzmi de vadai. And an uncertainty cannot remove something from its prior certain status. So once again, the grandma who proudly displayed shibrei tzlamim in her sveika collection pointed to her goyisha neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off in the wind and was still forbidden, and explained to her friend it was because ein safek motzmi de vadai, it was certainly worshipped, and it's only a safek if it was nullified. All right, so now it's time to go to our four blah chazara. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the siman Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. During the heated laser tag match, that must be on Daf Lamed Zayin. During the heated laser tag match, when a husband handed his wife a get saying, if I don't return within 12 months, this is valid, and then got zapped, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses when does a get al Tanai take effect if the husband died guaranteeing the Tanai's fulfillment. So during the heated laser tag match, when a husband handed his wife a get saying, if I don't return within 12 months, this is valid, and then got zapped when he was caught in the crossfire in the Shechita zone between the Tumas Mashkin de Rabbanan and Tumas Mashkin de Raisa teams, which reminds us, Yossi Ben Yoza ruled, the Mashka Bey Mitbechaya Dochen, the beverages of the Shechita place in the Mikdash are Tahor. Rav says, Dochen Mamash, they're literally Tahor and cannot contract Tuma. He holds Tuma's Mashkin Durabun, Tuma of liquids altogether is rabbinical, and was only enacted for ordinary liquids, but not for those of the Bei Mitbechai and the Mikdash, which are entirely Tahor. Shmuel says, Dochen Molatame Acherim, they are Tahor insofar as they cannot be Matame other things, Aval Tuma's Atzman Yeshbehen, but they themselves are subject to contracting Tuma. This is because Shmuel holds Tuma's Mashkin Duraisa, Tuma contraction of liquids is Midaraisa and therefore applies universally. Latame Acherim, the Rabban, but their ability to be Matame others is only the Rabban, and this decree was not enacted for the liquids of the Bei Mitbechaya. So during the heated laser tag match, when a husband handed his wife a get saying, if I don't return within 12 months, this is valid, and then got zapped, when he was caught in the crossfire in the Shechita zone between the Tumas Mashkin Durabun and Tumas Mashkin Duraisa teams, the referee told a player who wasn't sure if he touched the corpse when it landed outside that, Safek Tuma Bershusa Rabim, Tahor, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Yosi Ben Yoezer's lenience for a Tumas Mace, that Safek Tuma Bershusa Rabim is Tahor. Daf Lamed Ches. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Ches is a double lach, a liquid, and we use soup. So here goes. The Yid who bought vegetable soup, that must more on Daf Lamed Ches, a double lach. The Yid who bought vegetable soup from the Goy because the vegetables are Nechol Chai, which reminds us, Rav says, Kol Nechol Kamoshu Chai, any food which is eaten raw, for example, fruit, Ein Bo Mishum Bishuli Ovdei Kochavim, is not subject to the prohibition against foods cooked by idolaters, even if he did cook it. This is how Rav's ruling was taught in Sur, but in Pumadisa they taught the following version. Any food which is not eaten at a king's table to accompany bread, meaning it's not a dignified food, is not subject to the prohibition against Bishalakum. So the Yid who bought vegetable soup from the Goy because the vegetables are Nechochai used burnt grasshoppers from the Goy burning his field as an appetizer, which reminds us, if an Akum burned down a meadow, all the kosher grasshoppers, which were inadvertently roasted in the fire, are permitted because we say he intended only to expose the ground to the meadow, not to cook. So the Yid who bought vegetable soup from the Goy because the vegetables are Nechochai used burnt grasshoppers from the Goy burning his field as an appetizer and asked his friend to light the Goyish baker's fire so he can top off his meal with a fresh loaf. Our bread, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that a Jew may place meat on top of coals and allow an akum to come turn it until he returns from the Beis Knesses of Beis Midrash, and there's no concern of bishul akum. Although the akum's actions hasten the cooking process, it's still permitted, since it would have eventually cooked on its own without the akum's involvement. Daf Lamed Tes, so the Siman Daf Lamed Tes is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the Siman. So here goes. The Yid who refused to take chiltis from the Goy mailman, who uses letter opener, mailman, letter? That must be more on Daf Lamates. The Yid who refused to take chiltis from the Goy mailman, who uses letter opener, which doubled as a meat knife, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis taught that a grain of chiltis of an akum is prohibited to eat. It's a plant with a very sharp flavor. The Gemara explains it's because he cuts it with his knife, which he had previously used to cut non-kosher food, and the food is transferred to the chiltis when it's cut. Although ordinarily the law is nosen tam lefgam mutter, where forbidden food transfers flavor to the detriment of the mixture, it is permitted, but in this case, because of the sharpness of the chiltis, it sweetens the fats on the knife, the havli kenosin tamo shebach, and is thereby like a case of transferring flavor to the mixture's benefit and is forbidden. So the Yid refused to take chiltis from the Goy mailman, who uses letter opener, which doubled as a meat knife, and instead bought some from the Eved of the Chaver, who recently passed away, which reminds us, the slave of Rabbi Levi would sell chiltis, and after Rabbi Levi passed away, Rabbi Yochanan was asked if they could continue to purchase it from him. He said, Avdo shel chaver haru kochaver. The slave of a chaver is like a chaver and may be relied upon. In a similar incident, Rav Huna bar Man Yumi purchased chelas from the wife of Rav Amram Chasida and was uncertain if he could assume it was legitimate chelas until hearing that Shmuel ruled, Eshes chaver haru kochaver. A chaver's wife is like a chaver. So the Yid who refused to take chiltis from the Goy mailman, he uses letter opener, which doubled as a meat knife, and instead bought some from the Eved of the Chaver, who recently passed away, noticed a Yiddish mailman sitting on a mailbox near a Goy milking cows, rendering the milk Chol of Yisrael, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists foods of an Akum which are permitted in consumption, beginning with Chol of Shalchalavu over Kochavim Yisrael Ra'eyu, milk which an idolater milked and a Yisrael sees him. A Braisa clarifies that a Yisrael may sit beside an idolater's herd, and although he cannot see the Akum from his sitting position, and the Akum may milk the animal and bring the milk to the Yisrael, who need not be concerned that the milk is not kosher. Daf Mem. So the Simran Daf Mem relates to Mayim, and we use a pool. So here goes.
At the little fish swimming pool. Pool. That must be around Daf Mem. Mayim. Pool. At the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshay and Atruva was served, because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous Daf taught that Tarshay and Atruva, a type of small fish, which is minced, is permitted to eat. Abraisa explains, kosher rosh v'shidra nikar. O's head and spine are recognizable as kosher fish. Rafuna says this means achite rosh v'shidra nikar. It's not permitted unless both the head and spine are recognizable. But Rav Nachman says it's sufficient if either the head or spine is recognizable. So at the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshay and Atruva was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, which reminds us, Rav said, Kirbei dogim ubaron in nikokin elamina mumcha. The innards of fish and their eggs may only be purchased from an expert in identifying kosher species. So at the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshay and Atruva was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, there was a statue of a lifeguard with a whistle in his hand that was usher, Bahana, which reminds us, the third parak begins, Kol Tzlamim Asurim, all human images are Asur Bahana, Mipnei Shehen Evadim Pamachas Bashana, because they're worshipped once a year. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, but the Chachamim say, Eino asra el koshi yesh biyado mako and sipor kandur, an image is not prohibited unless it has in its hand a staff, a bird, or a sphere. The items in their hands are intended to depict their power over the world, and such images were more likely worshipped. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel prohibits any image which has anything in its hand. The Rabbanim agree that any image worshipped even once a year is prohibited.
All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one.
Which daf do we discuss identifying kosher Tarshay and Atruva using the Rosh Vashidra? That's on daf Mem.
Good. Number two. Which daf do when the broken idols are prohibited because ain't suffic motzi midei vadai? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number three. Which daf do we learn why Chol of Akum is prohibited? That's on daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number four. Which stuff do you know that Rav says that any food which is eaten raw is not subject to the prohibition of Bishul Akum? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches. Good. Number five. Which stuff do we have in Machlokas regarding what the din is of an Avodah Zorah that broke on its own? That's on Daf. Mem Aleph. Good. Number six. Which stuff do we discuss in Bishul Akum where the Jew participates in the cooking? That's on Daf. Good. Number seven. Which stuff do you know that Rav explains that Daniel decreed against the shemen of an akum? That's on daf. Lamed Vav. Good. Number eight. Which stuff do you know that shivrei tzlamim, which were not known to have been worshipped, are mutter because of a sveika? That's on daf. Mem Aleph. Good. Number nine. Which stuff do you know that Yosef ben Yehuda ruled the mashka bei mitbachai is doch and is tahor, and we have machlokes what tahor means, which is dependent on the machlokes whether tumas mashkin is metami deraisa or derabanan. That's on daf. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we have the various reasons given for the gezera of gvinas beis unyaki? That's on daf. Lamed Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.